Welcome back to the Automation Podcast, the world's number one industrial automation product and technology show. Thanks to you, our audience of highly skilled automation professionals. Thank you for being a member of our audience, and thank you for tuning back in this week. Now, if you're new to the show, my name is Sean Tierney from Insights in Automation, and each week, I invite a new vendor to come on the show to tell us about their products and technologies. And during their presentation, I take on the role of the audience, asking questions I think you might have as well as questions I have. And given that a quarter of our audience doesn't watch but listens to the show, during the presentation, I'll try to call attention to any visuals that I think the listen-only audience will want to know about. With that said, I want to welcome John DeTellum from Siemens back to the show to bring us up to speed on what's new in TIA Portal version 19.
John, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me back on to do the update for the TIA Portal version 19 release that was dropped in November. It was fundamentally the 24th around Thanksgiving time. But I know we talk a lot about totally integrated automation or TI Portal, but it is comprised of several components within it for engineering the PLCs, controllers, the HMIs, the drives, and a variety of other things. So in this case, you know, when we drop TI Portal V19, it's going to be based on Step 7 WinCC. So Step 7 component V19, that's the part number you order for the PLC side. And then the WinCC, in this case, I like to promote the latest and greatest stuff, is going to be known as the WinCC Unified. So those are the two primary topics that we'll kind of cover today as far as what was new in the release of the V19 and what's on the roadmap in the next few months around the automation side of it. And again, it's a coordinated release, so all these things come together. The other things that come out at the same time as the Step 7 and the WCC are the options that kind of set the framework. And those options support these variety of different tasks beyond just programming the PLC, such as team engineering or multi-user engineering working together on one project, simulation of the PLC, HMI, safety, and then virtual commissioning is tying it to other mechanical modeling in the digital twin realm. We also have components related to version management and validation, such as the VCI and the test suite and Team Center Gateway. I won't touch on those too much today. User management is another component of all these things coming together, getting away from that old school password that we all have in our head. I'm going toward more a user management where we manage you as Sean Tierney and grant your access to whether it's PLC, safety, HMI, drives, motion, and kind of limit what you have authority to do. That's another topic that's rolled into all these components. And then, of course, the other topics I'm not going to kind of cover today is the automatic generation of some of the solutions, OPC UA and ProDiag. Those are all other components around this. Just giving the users more tool sets around that automation engineering. One thing that's pretty significant, pretty consistent with what we've done with all the versions is even I'm working on a version 17 with my projects or on my machine today, I can download V19 and it is side-by-side installable on my workspace. They actually cleared up a couple situations with WinCC Professional and WinCC Advanced or Unified being simultaneously installed in V19 as well, which I won't cover. We'll try to get HMI team on here to cover some of that stuff with the WinCC. But from the basic core of the V19 with Step 7, our objective is that I can have multiple versions installed on my workstation so that I can work at multiple versions at the same time.
Now, for the audio audience, this goes back to version 13 SP1, the side-by-side install?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And the other thing is pretty significant. If I am on a software update service on my project, like I said, I'm pretty stable at V17, TI Portal V17. Even if I do get the update, I can apply the update, and the license running as a V19 is going to activate all of those versions back to V11. So that's another pretty significant little point about the fact that if I maintain my software, I get the latest and greatest access. I get the update to update my V11 license, and it still runs the V11 software on my computer.
So if somebody had a V17 project they had to work on, but they didn't own the software and they bought V19, they would still get access to V17 and be able to program that system.
Right. They just have to install the media file for the mm-hmm. V17 step 7, mm-hmm. and it'll run off the currently purchased V19 license. Nice. And give them full access to that stuff.
Perfect.
But yeah, that's another significant thing. If I expand my plant where I have an install base and I need one more license, I just buy the latest version and then just apply it to the installation or the image that has my V17. Another thing that comes up a lot of times with customers when we do this new release of V19 is there's new hardware. So the PLC will have a new release of a hardware platform 3.1 and firmware 3.1. And you won't find that in your V17 software, but it is compatible. So even though I order a brand new PLC, a 1512 compact CPU, and I get the 3.1 firmware that works with the V19, you don't have to do any flash backwards or firmware adjustments. You just apply that hardware to your V17 environment with the latest and greatest firmware that's supported in V17, and the hardware runs in compatibility mode. And that's a general standard across all the product portfolios. Another thing that's been kind of a feedback from some of the guys over the last couple of years as they do a lot of engineering with TI Portal is the high resolution support. The TI Portal software was fundamentally released in 2010. And over the last 4 or 5 years, there's been a recognition that they wanted a little bit more higher resolution capability, bigger screen for some of those engineers that are doing a boatload of this stuff. So that was released in the V19. No plans for a dark mode. There's a lot of things that have to be dealt with if we attempted a dark mode, and some of that has to do with the color animations that goes on inside the white screen that we have already today with the color of the blocks and the color of the animations related to certain faults, that it would be pretty tedious to do and support the dark mode. Again, one of the key things that happens when we release one of these versions of the software is support for the hardware that we've been working on in the background as far as the next release of the hardware devices. So in V18, there was a new hardware platform for most of the controllers, basically taking it from a single core PLC controller to a dual core and splitting it off that communications. And this is just the business of the way that communications and data has been driven out of the PLC and out of the automation world into all these other digitalization topics, that it kind of came to play that we needed to ensure that there was still power and performance for the execution of the program code. So that's in the core one of the processor. And then we split out all that communications, pulling data out and put that in the core tool. So this was done in V18 in the first phase, and now it's being introduced in V19 in the second phase. And there'll be a couple of other controllers performance enhancements in the V20, which comes out later this year.
Now, this is all under the hood, right? Just like when your PC went to dual core, you didn't have to worry about anything. Everything's taken Correct. Care of by the firmware, and you just program like normal?
Yes. We do a lot of things like that under the hood. There's a lot of things just taken care of for you, so we can focus on our automation side. Yeah. No, absolutely. This is definitely taking care of us. And again, there's a backward compatibility for these devices as well, so that they can be installed. And I think you and Louis and I are set up for a tech talk on some of the controller stuff in February. So that'd be a good chance to get into the details of some of the PLCs and the controllers.
Nice.
Of course, the VPLC is now configurable in TI Portal. So here, basically what it is within the TI Portal framework, I can go search through the controllers and I can select the VPLC. Now the actual subscription and the package that provides the actual virtual PLC on the Edge ecosystem is another purchase and requires another step of enabling yourself or the customer on the Industrial Edge and on the subscription service on the VPLC. And the actual VPLC is in a limited product release where we'll sit down with the customer and evaluate what they're going to do and make sure it's being properly applied in the strategy that fits for the first steps of it. But I mean, ultimately, if I switch over here to my cloud instance, you can see here I'm running, portal in the cloud. At the same time I'm talking to you, I can go to controllers. I can select my S7-1500 and I can scroll down here to find the vPLC. So I can set that up. It's standard PLC like we talked about last week in our tech talk. But I can set that up in TI Portal and drag blocks to it and program it and kind of get a feel of what it looks like inside my TI Portal framework before we get started into the actual world of setting up in our Edge ecosystem. The other thing that came through pretty significantly in the 3.1 firmware and the V19 is that user management and access control. In the previous versions, V15 to V18, it's evolved in a play project user management tool set, and a little bit of safety user management came into that. Again, following that mission and the objective to get away from that password that we use to get into certain realms of the access of the PLC or web server and other functionality, user management is now configured inside the PLC as well. So that functionality that was known as user management access control for the engineering and inside TI Portal where I configured it or I tied it to UMC or our Windows domain for the users. Now, actually, if we set it up properly, the PLC actually is now also capable of ensuring that it checks who's logging in and that they have the valid rights and roles to do the features and functions that are part of that PLC. So this is the first step in bringing the PLC into that user management. And that's another good tech talk or product podcast that we could get into is the user management access control. Actually, if anybody's interested in this, Lewis and I and Galen Freeman did a nice little webinar a couple years ago that's still online that also steps through a really nice example of how to set this up and kind of configure a PLC programmer, a safety programmer, and a read-only maintenance guy and kind of get into this. It's pretty simple stuff, but you got to kind of know how to get started. The release of the V19 is more functionality for our redundancy solutions and systems. So there's a lot of guys that are applying more robust type PLCs with extended temperatures and more advanced ratings as far as the ability of the PLC to exist in the environment, IP67, and also the redundancy. There's a big push for a lot of these different applications to be configured with having this redundant system set up there. So that's been another good discussion and dialogue during that tech talk. One of the key things that came out of a demand from most of our customers that are applying our redundant systems is the OPC capability in the 1500. And that was a big push to get that released in V19 as well. Inside the program structure where we can organize our PLC blocks, traditionally we program inside main OB1. We kind of set up our structure under program blocks, but software units is another way to segment control code into a little unit that is kind of more object oriented with the type of functionality that may be. Maybe module one is conveyor, module two is the robots, and I kind of organize a lot more structure to my breakout of my program. And then I can program these things independently and download changes to one without affecting the other. So software units is kind of evolving over the last few years with more and more functionality to help the user apply this concept. It kind of has to be planned out in the beginning that this is going to be my mainline stations under a unit. Failsafe can be a completely separate. The robots, the NP conveyors, those, the tanks could all be individual ones. But in V19 or V18, we introduced namespaces, which was an additional field that helped manage that environment. And in V19, we introduced the ability to define these named value data types inside the software units. So this is just another programming tool, I think, that's used in certain environments where you define text-based or named value values instead of using a value. So here I could have a positive, negative as a value type. Another example is a red light, green light, yellow light. In the case that you have an error, you just generate the fact that you want a red light. So that's kind of a standard in the IEC, and we brought that into the software unit so that there's more programming power inside of that. And then also in V19, we introduced the ability to link the motion or the technology objects out of this traditional motion control side of the PLC so that it can be integrated into the software units for kind of more better organization and advanced programming. Trace has been part of the 1500 since the inception, basically a version one. Fundamentally, that was a trace that's real and running against the real main program or the cyclic OB and capturing the measurements or the values of the tags related to the PLC. Over the years, we've extended it to support the ability of combining measurements or signals from one PLC to another PLC to a drive, because the drive also has the same user-defined configurable trace functionality. But in V18, we introduced the ability to do it without loading it in the PLC and to basically store it in a long-term format on the actual engineering environment. So I have the capability of doing a little bit more functionality for debug troubleshooting than I would if I was trying to do it inside the PLC. As I mentioned, that was kind of fundamentally the overview of the hardware, the controllers, the Step 7. Here's a whole breadth of additional things that were rolled out with our WinCC Unified version 19. Unified has been our platform for the HMIs. It basically evolved in a nice transition from comfort advanced functionality to what we want to go to the future, which is more of a unified HMI approach where I have HMI capability anywhere. Some of the key things that came out of WinCC Unified version 19 was the process diagnostics that we've had in the past is being able to finalize the configuration of that ProDiag process diagnostics out of the PLC and get access to the actual diagnostics that we've configured in the lateral PLC code and actually being able to see the screens or see the logic on the HMI screens. And there's a couple other things. Additional family known as the basic, unified basic panels, which are fundamentally the second generation of our basic panel. It's that more cost-effective HMI that you might apply to S7 1200 or basic automation without the need to go into all of the functionality that exists in the unified comfort. But basically we've introduced now two hardware platforms that are now on this WinCC unified product portfolio for TI Portal as we go into the future.
Yeah, and I don't mean this as a gotcha question, but do you get the unified basic development software for free? Like we used to get the basic development software free with Step 7?
Yeah, I used to do that. So yeah, if you get started with just this, yeah, if you get started with the Step 7, that's a good point. Again, fundamentally, it's all installed with Step 7. I forgot to drop that screen in here, but the installation is when I do Step 7, I have the option of doing the full install of the WinCC Comfort Advance Unified together. It's all part of the one installation. And then I activate a license for the component that I'm going to use, for example, Step 7 Professional. But if I drop in a basic in there, yeah, it's going to be included in the Step 7. Yep, and that's the cool thing is that it's just a matter of getting the license. And there's a 21-day trial, again, on all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Another thing that's pretty significant was rolling the unified engineering into our multi-user support. So that multi-user project server functionality had been part of the TI Portal framework in the past, but when we introduced Unified, there was a slight gap from one release to the next release in its feature set, supporting the ability to check in and check out changes across multi-users. So V19 really brought forward that ability to work on a project server or work by myself and check in my changes and keep track of them with the project server. And multi-user is probably one of our largest purchased options for customers to basically set up the project where more than one person works together from that project and checks in their changes or rolls out an update across the team based on the version management of the project server environment. So we get a lot of feedback from big customers that are using it as part of their everyday workflows for that project repository functionality. And one of the things that we had in the past was if I couldn't edit it in my local session, meaning it wouldn't be marked and checked, I had to go and check in and edit it on the server. And when I did that, that caused a lot of havoc for the other users. So in version 19, we introduced a little better way to handle that, where I take kind of an exclusive multi-user mode when I want to modify hardware or other things that aren't part of that local session editing feature. And you'll get a little error indicator, edit this in the local session. And now you can check it out into exclusive mode and fundamentally manage that server project better. And then all the other users have a better working together. So this is another one of those things that kind of evolves based on our customer problems or headaches and kind of responding to that to kind of make things more efficient for them in the long run. PLC SIM Advanced, PLC SIM in version 18 or version 17, I can't remember what it's been, but we kind of rolled those two little user interfaces into one more modern looking user interface. You can see here that on the right side, I've got the dark mode is in the PLC SIM Advanced because that was a newer development that was easier to move it over to light mode or dark mode. And in this one user interface, I'm either going to do the traditional PLC SIM, which doesn't require a license, it's included as part of the TI portal. And it allows me to simulate the PLC together with the HMI and the safety and the motion. In this version 19, now I can keep up and do the things I did before, which was SIM tables, simulate an input to a value of one or an analog value to a value of 1500. And I could do some sequences and I could generate some events. And then the V19 also includes the PLC SIM Advanced. It's all rolled into this one user interface and the two engines exist kind of in the background. You just switch between whether you're using PLC SIM included or whether you're checking for a license and using PLC SIM Advanced. It's all based on the very top selection where you see communication mode. And you can switch between no license required, internal only PLC SIM, or expand that out to the PLC SIM Advanced, which is our virtual commissioning tool set. But fundamentally, the objective of PLC SIM is I only have one instance of PLC SIM or PLC SIM Advanced for my TIA framework. And regardless of what hardware PLC I have in my project, I download it into this application and test it and simulate it. So I'm not making any changes to my project, changing the devices in the PLC. The PLC SIM is to simulate any one of the PLCs in the controller.
Which is nice. And that includes the 1200 too, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it does. Openness is just the real high-end programmers that get out there and want to do things without dragging the mouse and clicking around TI portal. There's fundamentally a whole tool set of APIs and tools around doing things to generate the program and the application or execute program reconfigurations properly with these external tool sets. So I think there's a lot more functionality in V19 that I can possibly cover, but some of our big partners like Copia, this is how they do the things that they need to do to manage the environments that they're pulling Siemens into to support their functions. And then some of the really high-end solution partners and integrators such as our DMC and Prism and Matt Paulson at AWC, those guys are all fluent in taking and making advantages of using TI Portal openness to make their more efficient. So it kind of gives that answer to those guys that are really getting into the deep of it. Project Insight is another tool set that kind of evolved out of headquarters, whereas so did some analytics on some of the information that exists in the project file, some of the data that's in the database, and fundamentally being able to generate some insight into what is in that configuration of that application. I haven't played with this, but it is a free download right now. So you can see the industry online support number on the video. If you Google it, I just use Google or one of these search engines to find Somatic Project Insight, and you can download that to your local station and basically apply a project to it and start to see some of the tools in there. But I think this would be a nice tool for ensuring that we understand what our application is designed for and what the limitations and information are related to the project before we actually deploy it to the machine.
Yeah, some of the things in here, you guys, for those people listening, things like a diagram showing the call structure, and then another report showing the UDT, DB, and tag dependencies. Signal flow, query builder. So a lot of interesting stuff in this this one slide.
One of our AEs, application engineers, is starting to dig into it. It's got that dark mode that those guys, those folks like to see. So it's kind of cool to get in. The other thing is pretty significant that the guys that have been working on it have linked it to be able to get data out of the new generation PLCs as well, so the controllers. So with this new firmware 3.1 firmware that's available now for most of the 1500s hardware platform, not all of them, you have to have the V18 hardware. If you get the 3.1 firmware, there's some information that can also be pulled and collaborated out of the PLC. And this can help you debug and troubleshoot the cyclic OBs that you might have set up for safety or motion or PID and process control. You can really get into some of the stuff that helps you optimize that runtime program in the PLC and understand what the interrupts are set up for. So those are kind of the big ticket items. There's a lot more things on that support website. So the sales and delivery release, we'll put that as a link. This has a slew of information on all the components, all the options. There's a nice technical PDF. And here you can get to the sales release information on every one of the individual components, such as start drive. And you can also get to a trial download. Fundamentally, nice. All of the TI Portal components have a installation and can run for about 21 days without needing a license. So I always like to make sure people understand that.
That's excellent. All the links are in one place too.
Yeah, they did a good job in the last two versions of organizing this so that it has everything in a nice, concise breakout. If things aren't quite released yet, it'll indicate here that it's planned and what date it's kind of available. So they've done a really good job on this one page. And you discovered last week that it's our product note entry type right here. That's what kind of gets you to the details of the key information.
Yeah, so if anybody's up at the SIOS site, you know, there's manuals, there's firmware, there's downloads, but new product announcements come under product note. And I was not following that, so I'm going to stop following it now.
The other thing is, like, I'm working in TI Portal in the cloud now. I have my access for 365 days. There's a one-year license. Anybody that's interested in that, send Sean an email or send me a contact that you want to get started on the 365. We'll work with you to give you some special pricing.
Yeah, we have a whole show we did on that with John talking about that.
Yep. What I like about it is I have all my versions. So here on my brand new laptop, I don't have to try and install V16 and V17. And it also has the options. So Test Suite, Energy Suite, CNET Plan, PLC Sim Advanced, they're already all installed. So I don't have to struggle with finding the install files and installing it. The cloud has it. There's even a legacy version that allows me to go back to V14. When I'm in the 365 software, I have a cloud connector, so I can actually connect through the cloud to my local machine, set up some secure certificates to verify who I am and who the cloud is, and tie it directly to my PLC.
Yeah, that's the piece that allows you to work in the cloud, but communicate to the PLC in front of you.
Correct. Yep. Now, this type of application is for, you know, lab environment. Maybe I'm servicing a farm piece of equipment where I don't know what software is out there and I'd rather have it in the cloud. But it's not necessarily what I would put out there for the maintenance. Is in a full-fledged plant environment, I would still stick with the traditional perpetual license. But the TI portal in the cloud does have it some value. Like I said, anywhere I am at, I just log in with my user login and click up to it and run it along with it.
Especially for engineers who are sitting in an office all day or maybe remote working half the week, just being able to log into their cloud license and have everything there, whether they're at the office or at home, would be nice. And they're not the type of people who typically have to go out in the field where there's no internet to service a machine like the plant people would. So I can definitely see it for engineering firms being a big thing. Yeah.
You can wrap it in for a year or two for extra people that you need to get a project rolling. And you're not paying that perpetual license cost associated with buying a license that lives forever. So there's some advantages there.
Yeah, too. And yeah, if you're an OEM and you're doing a lot of Siemens work, you can get the cloud and then, or you get the subscription. We talked about that in that previous show too. You don't have to worry about buying everything at the, you know, petrol prices.
What I like about it is that we're keeping the options open. So stick to the old way, the perpetual, no worries. We're not taking that away at all. And then move to these other two options to help augment your environment. The one thing that we do like to see our customers do that have that perpetual license is to update service so that, you know, as a V17 owner, PLC Sim Advanced 4.0, Test Suite 1.0, if I purchase the update service, I'm on a contract that ensures that whenever there's a release, which has generally been November of every year, I automatically get the update. So I'm not waiting to find out that there's an update out there and then going and buying an upgrade. Or having to buy a new version. If I'm on the update service for the different packages that I have, they're kind of listed here. Step 7, WinCC, Start Drive, Safety, Multi-User, PLC Sim Advanced. Then when the version 19 or the version 6 of the PLC Sim Advanced, for example, releases, Siemens, we automatically send you an update and you get the upgrade license from your V18 to V19. And you get your install file sent to you. Now, what we do is, even though you missed the date for the release, it was in November. Usually the cutoff for the update is on the release date. There's a grace period right now so that anyone out there that has licenses on their workspaces that are not a V19, we have until the end of February to place an order for that update service. And now you get both. You get V19 and V20. So this is just a short-term offer that will expire fundamentally February of 2024. But there's still upgrades after that time for anyone that is ready to go to V19. And then version 20, we plan for November of this year as well, 2024.
Nice.
This is the eye chart of all the details that kind of get summarized together. That's on that detailed product note. PDF that's up there, so you can get into all these other details. But there's a whole slew of other components that get updated at the time that V19 flows. You know, that's the best way to kind of dig into, did your problem get resolved in step 7 or WinCC. There's also pretty significant information on the help file inside TF Portal. That was kind of my synopsis for the V19, just to kind of keep it short and simple.
No, I appreciate you coming on. That was excellent. It's good to know what was new and exciting in the latest release. And we're already working our ways towards V20 here. It's January, and that's coming out in November. So, it's good to know about that grace period. If you don't have your support contract, your SUS, if you grab it before the end of February, you'll be able to slide right in there without having to buy the upgrade. So that's very cool as well. Was there anything else you wanted to mention while I have you?
Anybody, you know, wants to know more, reach out to Sean anytime. Sean knows how to get hold of.
Yeah, okay. If you guys are having any troubles finding somebody at the right person at Siemens, I'm more than happy to take to forward on what you're looking for to John and his team. They're great, and they always try to find the right person for you. And with that, John, I just want to thank you for coming back on the show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Sean. Anytime.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode, and I want to thank John DeTellum of Siemens for coming on the show to bring us up to speed on TIA Portal version 19. Now, if you did enjoy this episode, please consider giving us a like, a sub, and a share. That is the fuel that keeps this show on the air. And if you want to follow me or get in touch, you can do so over at automation.locals.com. You'll also find all my training courses, including my training course on the S7 1200 and 1500, over at theautomationschool.com. With that said, I want to thank you all for watching. I want to wish you an awesome week. And no matter what happens in the world, let me encourage you to stay courageous and stay fearless. And until next time, my friends, peace.